In the last lecture, we have discussed that we can throw our information into the black hole and then we can recover it in principle. Now, that's a prediction from quantum mechanics, but this leads to one puzzle called cloning puzzle. Okay, so I want to describe this puzzle, and then I want to describe, like, discuss how to possibly solve this puzzle. So the puzzle is very simple. Let's assume that there is this black hole. So this is black hole, and then this line is the horizon. Now, what we have seen so far is if this object is unitary and has finite dimensional entropy, Bekenstein-Hawking coarse grained entropy, then we can reconstruct the information. That means there is a initial state of your secret diary or something which goes into the black hole, but then later there will be a Hawking radiation. And we catch them and then somehow process it nicely, then we should be able to reconstruct IM. That's the pattern picture of what will be happening. But this is quite strange because you throw your diary into the black hole, so there should be a diary inside the black hole. But at the same time, from the outside observer, he can reconstruct the diary. So what happened here is that so this initial state after this reconstruction procedure, we have two copies of the same state. Okay, so one is outside, this is my reconstruction, and this is the original diary. So it looks like there is a cloning. So but this is not a good thing, right? I mean, we don't think cloning is, well, cloning is not possible in quantum mechanics. So some severe violation of quantum mechanics seems to be happening. Now, this is a puzzle. And of course, then some people, of course, was very worried about unitarity of the black hole and so on. But then there is a very nice, interesting resolution to this puzzle. Now, this resolution, it's called black hole complementarity. And honestly, I don't know what it means by complementarity in this context, but I just describe the idea and in a widely accepted sense. So the question we should be asking is like, okay, maybe cloning might be happening in a black hole, but can we really verify the cloning or not? That is, you try to do some experiment to see two copies of the same quantum states, and then can you actually do that or not? That's the question. And then it turns out that, you can't really see two copies. I'll explain why. And for that, I need to draw the so-called Penrose diagram, and I haven't formally introduced it, and then introducing it formally takes quite a long time, so I'll just try to give you an intuition. But this is a diagram to show the space-time structure of the black hole, and it's really like a distorted diagram in a sense, like this distance is not same as this distance, so it's really like, I don't know, squeezed and distorted figure. A nice thing about this diagram is that this wiggly line is usually the singularity. Then this line is the black hole horizon. Then, so this line is usually r equals to zero, like a, is it r equals zero? Actually, sorry. Wait. Fine. Yeah. Strictly speaking, this is like a gravitational collapse to create one-sided black hole. But anyway, the important point is that this is the horizon. So then the light rays, if you are traveling at the speed of light, then you go in the 45 degree. Then now what we see here is that if you are outside the black hole, let's say sitting here, you can escape from the black hole by going to like 45 degree. So you don't hit the singularity. But once you are inside the black hole crossing the horizon, then yeah, you will hit the singularity. And then this simple causal structure is captured in this type of Penrose diagram. Okay, it's just 45 degree is the fastest you can do. Now in this diagram, what we do is we prepare a diary and then throw it into the black hole. Let's assume that it propagates at the speed of light, like you encode your diary into photons. Okay, what's that? Is it because I hit this?
No, no, they have a Zoom meeting going for the students who are out of town or.
Oh, I see, I see. COVID,
so they're, well, there's probably somebody joined the Zoom meeting.
Okay, it's a first type of sound I heard in Zoom. Usually it's more like a bell. Right? Okay, hi. Anyway, so this is a diary that goes the speed of light. And then there will be a radiation. So radiation in this area. So it's of course like slowly black hole is shrinking. So it's more like this, but yeah. Then we catch the radiation here, and then there's time difference. Then after some time, you can reconstruct your state diary by catching radiations. Okay. But still, this is outside. So in order to verify the cloning, these two copies, both of them should be inside. So what you should do is you should bring this reconstructed copy. Into the black hole. So you see that these two are still separated. So you need to bring them together. But how? If this guy is just going in this direction, it will hit the singularity. So that means like this guy needs to change the trajectory in this direction to this direction. So then somehow, okay, then these two quantum states can be. So this is the possible verification of the violation of the no cloning or cloning. So can we do that or not? Then, of course, this delta t in this experiment, this need to be around the page time. That is, half of the black hole should evaporate in order to reconstruct Michel diary state. And even from this figure, you may notice that if I call this time t star or something, if this t star is large, then they will hit the singularity before they meet, right? So this means like t star. Very small. And then, precisely speaking, yes. So, I mean, the assumption here is what are the assumptions, right? So yeah, because this reconstructed copy is outside, and then this original diary is inside. So it's reasonable under these assumptions to think that these two states need to be inside in order to meet, and then then we could do some experiment inside the black hole, but everything is inside the black hole. The point is, like, the question is there any physical observer who can verify the, like, see the violation of the no cloning theorem? Okay. So, but in order for this experiment to be possible, this T star needs to be very, very small. And this T star will be measured in the clock of this observer, or this line. Needs to be very small. Otherwise, they miss these two copies. Singularity before they meet. Okay, but then how small this T star should be? And of course, this T star, it depends on your detail of your model of the black hole and so on. But for Schwarzschild black hole, this C star, a T star, should be smaller than roughly the following quantity. RS is the radius of the black hole, Schwarzschild radius. And turns out this is roughly, these two coefficients, it doesn't matter much. But roughly like this. Okay. So now, if you compute the page time by using like thermodynamics and so on, then delta T is actually pretty small. And it's roughly the order of RS to this cube, 3. So it's a pretty big quantity. So this is roughly equals to RS times exponential of minus square with some constant times RS square. Here we are looking at a very, very large black hole. So this is extremely small quantity. Therefore, this is usually much less than Planck time, sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we compare delta T and RS cube, there should be some dimensional proportionality.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm setting almost all the constant one, so that this is like everything is in a Planck unit.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. That sometimes those constants could be in terms of Planck length or something.
Yes. So I'm expressing everything in terms of like Planck scale. So if this quantity is very small, it means like it's smaller than the Planck scale. So this time scale is really, really, really small. It's smaller than the Planck time. So that means like the proper distance you need to go. So once you cross the horizon, you have really, really like shorter than Planck length to change the direction of this diary, so that you can see the violation of the non-cloning theorem. And well, this is really unphysical because, I mean, Planck length is already very small. And also, if you want to just send such a sharp signal within such tiny, tiny time window, you usually need very, very large energy that's usually inversely proportional to the time scale. So then you will need energy which is exponentially larger than Planck energy, which means like you will probably need energy which could be actually larger than the energy of the black hole. So this is really, I mean, it's not possible. So by just looking at this kind of causal diagram, we see that well, verifying the cloning is in practice not possible. And this idea is roughly what we call the black hole complementarity. That is, we just ask like, okay, there may be some violation of quantum mechanics, but can we really measure it and see it here? Okay, so it's a very beautiful and elegant idea, and I know that many people were really satisfied with this idea for quite a long time. So then, does this solve the cloning puzzle completely or not? And then,
sort of a question. So okay. These are someone that's far away from the black hole.
We use the fact that this is black hole because the meeting point with these two quantum states, right? So yeah, it's far.
I was gonna ask them what's the perspective from like the grad student inside the black hole who's doing the experiment.
So what's
the perspective from someone who's inside the black hole can that one like because these time scales are someone that's far
oh
from the black hole.
Oh yeah. So it's still like I'm measuring, so delta T is measured in a cloak that is outside the black hole,
right,
and then sufficiently far away from the black hole. But this T star is measured as a proper time, so it's like really like this very, very well defined thing. So it's just a cloak you carry and travel.
Okay, but then wouldn't.
So it's just given this causal diagram, and then suppose that there is a delta T separation between these two signals going in these directions, and then suppose that they can still meet inside the black hole. That is a question, and it's possible if one of the trajectory changes the direction very quickly.
Okay, then I guess my confusion is like, wouldn't the time scale has to be compared in the same frame to make sense? Otherwise, say T star is the proper time, but delta T is the time.
So delta T is a good time in that observer. So like, delta T is defined with respect to someone who is sitting far away from the black hole. Yeah, and then, yeah, that's the time scale. And then delta T, because I needed delta T to put the page time, because page time is measured in that far away clock. But then now when I compute T star, then T star is inside the black hole. So then delta T is a clock outside the black hole. So essentially, like you can't go to the black hole inside and then you can't return, right? So, I mean, T star is the clock inside. So there's no conversion between T star and the delta star, the delta T.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's still, you can ask T star because. So essentially, you are an observer who jump into the black hole together with a diary. And then your task is you cross the horizon and you have a clock and you measure the time. And after T star seconds, you change the direction. And then, so that's a very well defined thing.
I just want to make sure I understand. You just get the exponential factor from just Kruskal coordinates.
Yeah. It's essentially. So anything which has Kruskal, like bifurcating horizon. Okay. So this is like, when I first heard about this argument, I found it's really cool and it solves everything. But the life is not so simple. And this big black hole complementarity. However, it has been challenged recently. So first is the firewall puzzle. Firewall puzzle is related to possible violation of the so-called monogamy of entanglement. Should be true in, I mean, which should hold in quantum mechanics. But apparently there is a process where that may be violated. And it turns out for firewall puzzle, you can have one single observer who seems to be like able to verify the monogamy of violation of the monogamy of entanglement. So this idea is not the everything. Second is that well, it's actually like there's a more like a refined interpretation. Scrambling idea, which I will discuss later. So by refined interpretation, in a sense that if you think about this black hole complementarity carefully, then this is just like a compromise in a sense like, yeah, we accept some violation of quantum mechanics, but then we say it's okay because we can't see it. But yeah, I mean, strictly speaking, we don't want to allow such violation, even if it's not observable. So then it turns out that I think the more modern way of thinking is like the process of reconstructing the quantum state is complicated and it's carefully tuned enough so that there will be such a procedure will have a significant back reaction to the geometry, and it actually changes the location of the horizon, and it actually pulls the quantum state from inside the black hole to the outside. So there's only one copy. When you do the reconstruction, you are indeed recovering the diary from the inside of the black hole. And that is more like a modern way of thinking. And well, I will discuss it more later in the lectures. But yeah, so that's kind of the, then there are a concrete geometry that realizes such scenario. But anyway, what I want to emphasize is that this is a beautiful idea, and it had a kind of tentative resolution for the cloning puzzle. So there's more stories to follow recent years. Yes, yes.
So the thing you just said, that the reconstruction process messes up the status of the inside, it seems like that already follows like automatically from the sort of picture that you talked about last time where
quantum mechanics,
you have more than half the state that you need to reconstruct, the half the state that stays inside the black hole is reconstructed.
So if we really really believe quantum mechanics from outside, and if we really really like loyal to that description, then yeah, when we distill and reconstruct the quantum state, it is already outside, it's not like two copies, right? That's the But of course, like understanding that process in the like real quantum gravity language is really a challenge. Then in ADS-CFT, there is such a process. All right, so that's the cloning puzzle. But anyway, like forgetting about what, well, I don't want you to forget, but ignoring what I said for the moment, the black hole complementarity seems to solve the cloning puzzle. And then we have seen like it's super small, exponentially small, so we seems to be super safe, like in the cloning. But there is one interesting modification to this problem. Soto experiment, which is due to Hedin and Preskill. Okay. Now with this Hayden-Preskill thought experiment, yeah, things become more and more interesting. So the question we ask is similar. We throw a diary into a black hole. But this time we are gonna throw a quantum state into the black hole after the page turn. Okay, so what's really new about this is there's a black hole, just a circle, and your diary go into a black hole. And then the problem setting is like same. You want to catch radiations and then try to reconstruct this guy. But the interesting twist Hayden and Preskill added to this problem is the following. Since this is a black hole which has already radiated more than half of its content, so there is a chunk of early radiation that has been evaporated from this black hole over the page time. And then my black hole will be just entangled with this early radiation. So let me distinguish these two radiation. Rate radiation and then the interesting question they ask is like, so someone really really wants to see the content of this diary, so this is I think stalking this person, and then so he actually so has been observing the black hole since its formation, then carefully collecting all the Hawking radiation up to the page time, and then he has been collecting it in quantum storage device or whatever. So he has access to this RE radiation. And then now someone comes to the black hole and then try to destroy this secret diary. But now he has access to this RE radiation already. So the question is, having access to RE radiation, maybe we don't need to collect like half of the Hawking radiation in order to do the reconstruction. So the question is, having access to both RE and rate radiation, and we can we reconstruct the diary or not? Okay. So that's the question. The surprising result that has been found by Hayden and Preskill is the following. Now, there are two cases to consider. So suppose that we only have access to late radiation only. Just like before. Then we need, so let me call it this degree of freedom D. And then let me call nd is the number of qubits count you need to collect from the Hawking radiation theory. We actually need roughly order of n. So you need to collect all black hole, essentially. If you have access only to late radiation. But with RE and late radiation, we actually need ND that is actually slightly larger than NA. And NA is your there is qubit count. So it's really So this is what Hayden and Preskill have found. And if you think about this, it's really crazy in a sense, like you have a black hole which is already past the page time, so you just create a black hole and wait for a long time, has early radiation. But since there is early radiation, there are early radiations, if you throw your secret diary into the black hole, let's say it's just one qubit information into the black hole, if you collect one or two or three qubits from the black hole, then you actually already able to reconstruct this psion. That is really crazy, or it's very surprising. That is, I think when we throw something into the black hole, we are hoping that the black hole will hide it very carefully. But for such a black hole, which is past the page time, your secret information almost immediately reflect back to the outside world, and it's already available in the combined system of late and early radiation. That is what Hayden and Preskill have found. So this beautiful paper by Hayden and Preskill is called Black Hole as Mirrors. Mirror is reflecting mirrors, because your information reflect back to the outside world like an information mirror. This is the Hayden Preskill thought experiment.
In the first case, when we saw we to reconstruct psi, we need more than page time, right? Delta E was about page time.
Yes. More than page time, or we needed to catch more than half of the.
So in this case, once we have already passed the page, the first statement, we don't have half of it anyway now, right? The second statement is still okay because you have some extra information.
Right.
It makes sense. But the first one,
the reason is that, the difference between from the previous case is like, so the previous case, we knew the initial state of the black hole. It was, psi BH, and we knew that. But in this setup, the initial state of the black hole is entangled with early radiation. So from the black hole, it's a maximally mixed state. So I don't know which one. So that information is missing. So if I know the initial state, the pure state of the black hole, I can utilize it to more efficiently reconstruct the initial state. But in this setup, it's maximally entangled. So yeah. That's the reason why I need almost all the black hole.
Yeah, but that n is, it means that the whole.
Oh, n is this.
Initial.
N. Yeah. Yeah. So if initial black hole is 2n, you release n of them, then that's your black hole after the page time. And then you throw your state into the black hole. And if you have access only to late radiation, then yeah, you need to collect. Or essentially, you need to wait until everything comes out.
Your early and late are defined relative page time, and we're throwing in our state after and collecting everything before. What if we just threw it in like for half the page time?
Half the page time. Then essentially, you need to collect more and more and more, so that like your total amount of the this is like n, this is like n, then basically like your total amount of available qubits needs to exceed half. So in this case, originally it's 2n, so it's more than n is needed. So yeah, n and a little bit. So if this is more than n, then yeah, you need to collect more.
But when the black hole, we are throwing in the diary when black hole is almost evaporated. A very small portion is left. We don't have n left.
Oh, yeah. In this.
Yeah.
Then all you should do is really, like, you should implement UDAGR to reconstruct. that's the situation. But like having access to this part, yeah, it really helps. Okay, now two things I need to discuss. I want to cover two things is like I need to show this prove these claims by using this RT or minimal surface like formulas. And another thing is I want to repeat this cloning like argument. Let me see how much I can do. So, information theory setup. We are going to use the reference system trick. So, the quantum state we need to consider will be the following. There's a unitary operator. We will assume this is hard random, but this is the dynamics of the black hole. Then previously, we had this thing, initial state of the black hole, and then your diary, right? So this is the original page thing. But for Hayden Preskill, what we should do is the following. Instead of a black hole, this is a black hole after the page time. So I should be able to model this as a entangled state, namely dp appears from B and B prime. Okay. So B prime is essentially the R irradiation. And B is of course the black hole. Okay. So instead of creating pure state here, I have dp appears, primary entangled. Then for the initial diary, what I should do is this is reference, and this is the diary Hilbert space. Again, I create EPL pairs and then throw part of it into the block. Then there's output, and then let me call these two outputs C and D, and assume that the D is the late radiation. Okay. Yeah. Eight. Okay. Yeah, just for comparison, I'm gonna just okay. This is page and this is Empress scale. Now in the last lecture, we argued that in the Page's thought experiment, we should be studying mutual information between A prime and this D, because A prime is a reference that keeps track of the initial state of the block diary, and D is the degree of freedom you have on access. If there are strong entanglement, that means like there is a way to reconstruct the initial state. In the same way, for the Hayden Preskill setup, what we should compute is I A prime E B prime. That is, D is a late radiation and B prime is the R irradiation. I have access to both of them. So what I want to study is whether A prime is entangled with D or not. This nearly Max, that's the question. And then of course, the dual question is equivalent, was of course nearly equals zero or not. That's basically the duality relation. All right, so that's what we want to compute. Is this clear? Which one? This one?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this one is, so this is what we want to prove. But well, this is equivalent in a sense, like if this mutual information is nearly maximal, then this mutual information will be nearly zero. But that's something you can prove. And then I'm gonna prove this one anyway, but these two statements. That is, yeah, your diary right reference has no entanglement with the remaining black hole. That's the statement. So since there is no diary inside the black hole, it should be outside. Now to compute this one, we need to just do the minimal surface estimate. So I A prime D B prime is equals to SA prime plus okay. Yep. But this one is just equals to SC because the whole state is pure. And SA prime, A prime is just part of the EPR pair. So unitary will not change the entanglement entropy. So this is and A, the number of qubits on A, A prime, have same number of qubits. Okay. Now, if you want to compute SDB prime, again, we will do this exercise of drawing lines. So for DB, one possible line. Sorry, let me. C and D, so that's easier to draw. One possible surface, this one. This green line has ND plus NB. That's one possibility. The other possibility is I go all around and close D and B prime. This one has NA plus NC. So minimum of these two quantity should be roughly equals to SDB prime. And as for SC.
Sorry, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a silly question, but like if you did swap C and D on that picture, how would you draw the lines?
Difficult.
You can't just go above it.
No, it's just let me just do it down. Okay. So what we need to do is we are interested in these two regions. So our goal is just to write the surface that closes these guys. So one is this, the other one is this, yeah. But it's essentially the same.
So it doesn't have to be connected.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be, and it's same as RT formula.
All right. Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Combinatorical possibility of disconnected surfaces.
Yeah, so in principle, yeah, you need to think about everything. But in this situation, yeah, there are only two possibilities.
Okay.
But in actual gravity, ADS CFD, the geometry can be more and more complicated. There could be multiple candidate surfaces.
Yes.
SC, we do the same thing. And then C, this one. Or this thing. Yep. So the answer should be close to minimum of NC or NA plus NB plus NB. The NB and NB prime are the same quantities, right? So then now, if you carefully look at these two conditions, then we notice that if ND is larger than NA, that is the number of late radiation is larger than number of the qubits for the input diary, then what we will get is this one. Yeah, actually, I should draw it. This one is here. Sorry. But you can see that because D is larger, much, much larger, it turns out this is smaller. So, and D is large. So, yeah. Good. So now with this information, we can compute this quantity, bring everything into the formula, then notice that it is roughly equals to 2 times NA. But 2 times NA is the quantity that you would get from NA copies of EPR pairs. That means like A prime and DB prime, they are like a strong EPR-like relations between A prime and DB prime. Therefore, if this condition is satisfied, then we know that reconstructible is possible. Okay. So this is essentially the result Hayden and Preskill proved. I think it was like 2007. Beautiful paper. Ultimately, if you just follow the calculation and the conclusion, then there's not much surprise in a sense, like because we have early radiation, so we should be able to do better. And then they just showed us that yeah, we can indeed do better. But if we use this conclusion in this cloning puzzle argument, then things become more and more interesting. Now, in this cloning puzzle argument, we had delta t, that is page time. So page time is such a long time, so we were safe. But catching just a few qubits can be done in a very short period of time, right? So then, if you just throw a black quantum state into the black hole and catch the state, then if you can reconstruct it, it seems like you are running into the trouble. Okay. So, one observation we can get from that exponential T star kind of formula, we want this T star to be bigger than the Planck time. Oh, no, sorry. Shorter than the Planck time. So in order for no cloning, I don't want to see any cloning, we need delta t that is log rs, right? Because if I put log rs times log into that formula, exponential, essentially exponential log, which gives you some polynomial factor. So if it's, well, roughly, if this condition is roughly satisfied, then delta t star will be very, very small. It will be smaller than the Planck scale, Planck time. So you shouldn't be able to verify the cloning. So this is needed. And then if you look at this quantity, it's actually this quantity is something which appear in GRE and the quantum mechanics. So this time scale is actually interesting time scale. So this is a black hole, and then we are measuring the time scale delta t sufficiently far away from the black hole, and we typically put it like I don't roughly 2 times of the Gaussian radius and so on, but it doesn't matter much. You can just normalize it always. But this delta t, this length is actually this duration is enough to send a signal to the black hole, very close to the black hole, and then coming back. By very close, I mean that this is like Planck scale. So that means like your diary, from the perspective of the outside observer, it goes very, very close to the black hole horizon. And then somehow there is a outgoing radiation that reaches to you, exterior. And then these two guys should be meeting near the black hole horizon, like Planck scale close to the horizon. Now it is natural to think like there is some hidden interesting interaction happening very, very close to the black hole horizon. And then because of that, by capturing this outgoing radiation, we might be able to reconstruct quantum state.
Could you repeat that? How the delta t is important in this?
Yeah, delta t. So this is roughly like m is the mass of the black hole, and usually we take like 3m or 4m far away from the black hole. And you are sitting here, you have your own clock. And now you throw your secret diary from here, goes to the black hole. And what we have found is that after the time scale of this RS times log S, this diary can go very close to the black hole, Planck scale close to the black hole. And then there is a outgoing radiation that generated around here and then coming back to you.
How are we deciding that it's going very close to the horizon?
Yeah. If you increase this time scale more and more and more, then this meeting point becomes much, much, much closer to the black hole. You can't make it zero, but it can be very, very close to zero. I mean, yeah. But so this RS times log S is really like exactly the time you need it to go to the Planck scale and then return to at the outside. So it seems that, well, if delta t is much, much shorter than this time window, then these two guys interact like really like away from the black hole. Then away from the black hole horizon, yeah, it's nothing should be special. So yeah, then we kind of think like, then there won't be any special interactions or any special phenomena. So it's natural to think like, yeah, we need to wait for this at least RS times log S time scale in order for us to be able to reconstruct the state.
Is this the time that we have to wait specifically for the number of bits to come out of the black hole that allow us to reconstruct the initial state?
No, because there will be lots of Hawking radiation already here. So you can catch these area radiations. But it seems to me that from these causal structures, only the radiation that leaking out after this time scale. This is, by the way, what we call scrambling time. So I just call it scrambling time. After the scrambling time is useful. That is the prediction. If you just catch the radiation, I don't know, only 1 second, very short time after that, after you throw a quantum state into the black hole, then it's likely like this doesn't have any information because it's already, I mean, it's far away from the black hole. And yeah, it's just.
When you say useful,
useful means like, yeah, this kind of phenomena is not induced, or more precisely, we need to wait this time scale in order for us to do such calculation in a sense that this our random assumptions, we are assuming that the unitary dynamics is like our random and so on, such a strong mixing dynamics will be possible only after this time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the earliest time at which radiation you're receiving
mm-hmm.
from the black hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of the.
But then in this picture, we are.
Mm-hmm.
We imply this picture saying that we don't want any cloning. So there is only one copy of Sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but somehow in this case, Sign doesn't never go inside.
From the perspective, yes, outside. Because from the perspective outside observer, you can't see inside the black hole. So. From our perspective, it's actually the same as nothing exists. So then it's as long as we believe in GL, like Schwarzschild solutions and so on, what will happen is like you throw something into the black hole and it slows down, and it stays here and it's really like slowly moving toward. So this is like no cloning. This is needed, and so this is what we call scrambling time. I'm talking about scrambling time without defining scrambling, but this is a GR prediction. General relativity, or at least the Schwarzschild solution for the black hole, tells us that this delta t timescale for the reconstruction should be longer than this. Interestingly, there is a similar lower bound that you can derive. The quantum information theory actually says that, in order to mix like large quantum state truly, then is something called scrambling time. It actually should be larger than. Well, there is no RS and R, RS in the quantum information, so it's actually this kind of time scale. But a similar time scale appear also in the quantum information. I'll go more into detail when I define scrambling, what scrambling means. So it means that it's actually interesting, like from QI and from GL, we are having the same lower bound. So there's a strong reason to believe that this is not a coincidence. Anyway, so sorry, I think I rushed a bit because I had lots of material I needed to cover. But let me just recap that information seems to be recoverable if we believe in unitarity, but that leads to cloning puzzle. But we have a tentative resolution of the cloning puzzle by saying that no one can see the cloning. That looks fine. But then Hayden and Preskill challenged that black hole complementarity by coming up with this nice twist, you know, to this Page's thought experiment by catching the early radiation. But then they have seen that it's actually you only need to catch a few qubits in order to reconstruct your diary. And that is really a surprising statement. Now, if we use that in the context of the cloning puzzle, it seems really tight in a sense like we are avoiding the violation of no cloning theorem No, really, like barely. Like if this time scale for the reconstruction becomes shorter than this one, then we can see cloning. But it seems like GR and QI says like this is really the lower bound you can have. So it seems like we have a very barely we are safe from seeing the cloning. Then when we see such a bound and then when things seems to be saturating the bound, then we feel like we usually gain some confidence how it works. But yeah, this is what Hayden and Preston did. Now, so far all the calculation we have done is for how random or this minimal surface-like situations, which is it's maybe a only an approximation or a toy model. So then in the coming lectures, in the next several lectures, I'm going to look at the actual black holes dynamics, and then I'm going to define what it means by scrambling, and I will show that these kind of a hidden Preskill-like phenomena indeed happens, actual black holes.